Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tonight, my co-host is Christopher John O'Shea. How you doing?
In the rotating chair. I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful tonight. Tax season is over, at least the main thrust of tax season is over. And we just reviewed all the extensions we still have to do, but that's easier when you have, 6 months to do them, you know? So... as opposed to you have to do, 400-some returns in a month and a half?
It doesn't get easier different. When they allow people to send out the tax information later and later, and they keep the date the same as the first due date of April 15th.
Yeah, well, you know why they do that, Chris, is because it's a budget thing, that if they push the due date of the taxes off to even May or June or July— the more they push it off, the higher and higher the deficit would become, and they don't like that. So, you know, revealing.
Yeah, we should really introduce them to the concept of you spend what you take in.
Yeah, really. You know? That's a novel concept to them. Yeah. But anyway, we're here on an open show tonight, Chris. That means our listeners are a guest. They get to determine the course of the conversation. They get to call in and ask the questions, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct that conversation, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. It can be anything. Maybe you've got a question on Social Security. We're here to answer it for you. If you got a question on Social Security, we have substantial expertise in that area. Matter of fact, I've sat in for many Social Security representatives' presentation on Social Security, and there are some really cool things that they talk about. But we think of Social Security from a totally different perspective, and still know all the administrative things about Social Security. So if you want to ask your question on that, that's fine. Medicare, we have great expertise in Medicare. If you want to ask your question on that, maybe it's your 401k at work. Maybe it's something to do with your taxes. Maybe you got a notice from the IRS or the state or something of that sort. Or maybe you're just wondering, you know, did I really get my taxes right? You know, if it has to do with your personal finance, we're here to answer it for you. You get to direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. Go ahead, Chris. You got some people there.
Well, we do have one. We've got several open phone lines, but we've got Bob. Welcome to the show, Bob, calling from Delaware.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mr. Drew.
How you doing?
I can't live without you, buddy. I need your advice here.
What can we do for you?
All right. I've had a brokerage account with a house for 25-plus years, and it's a taxable account, and I have lots of blue chips in there that pay a dividend. So over the years, I've invested the dividends in repurchasing stocks, right?
Okay.
Now I want to sell some. All right, I'm a block of this and a block of that. The trouble is, I've had the dividends for 25 years in stocks. So now, should I go first in, first out, or last in, first out?
Neither. You go with a specific identification. You know how to do that?
No.
So your specific identification is where you say you should have every single purchase, every single share I ever purchased and the date I purchased it and the price I paid for it. And I want you to sell the highest cost basis stock that I have. And that's the ones I want to sell. That's
Now you tell me. All right. Well, I did a dumb thing, Drew.
Okay.
I had for years first in, first out, and I didn't think to change it, and I sold them first in, first out, and they nailed me on, they sold all my dividend stocks. And
boy, yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. That's why you don't use any of those first in, first out or LIFO. Usually, a lot of the brokerage firms do what's called highest cost bases first.
Wow.
And so you don't even have to do specific identification. You can just say highest cost bases first.
Well,
so,
I already paid my taxes, $30,000.
Well, just make sure you change your choice for sales to highest cost bases first, and then you don't have to worry about that, okay?
Now, there's no way I can – I've already paid the government $21,000, the IRS.
Nah, you can't change it now that you've already done it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question. Do you do a lot of charitable giving?
No.
No? Okay. Well, it's just a question. You don't. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a question. And you can say yes or no, and it just changes the answer. So since you don't do any, there's nothing, you know, then you just want to go with highest cost basis first, okay? All right, buddy, I got to run. Great question.
I should have called you first.
Good point. I like that, Bob.
Have a great day. Love you, man. Bye-bye.
You do the same. Thank you. Thanks for your support. Anyway, Chris, we've got to take our first pause, and then we're going to be back with Rick and Easton on Social Security. But if you want to get online before we come back from this pause, the way to do that is call 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. There, it means there's three or four lines open, so feel free to call in 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. There are two main personal finance issues. How do I reduce taxes, and when can I retire? The Financial Consulate is passionate about both. My personal passion is reducing your tax liabilities because I believe tax laws are illogical and complex. I relish in helping you legally reduce taxes. It delights me and my team to help you retire and remain confident throughout your retirement. Robust retirement planning software and our comprehensive knowledge can build the assurance you need to plot out your retirement goals. If you have $1 million or more invested, including company plans, then we will do a tax planning analysis and retirement plan projection at no cost. If tax savings and retirement are your main concerns, then call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAVE or search Financial Consulate. That's consulate like an embassy. Let us show you how to lower your tax liability and confidently prepare for retirement.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
See, now he's doing this for you, Chris, because my musical range is very, very, very narrow. I got about two or three bands that I know anything about. So that was for you. Anyway, we're here on an open show. Let's go right to our listeners, Rick and Easton.
Yes. Hey, Rick, thanks for waiting through the break. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, how are you? I'm just on the other side of the bridge now, pulled over so you can hear me good. I'll try not to ramble. Cut me off if I do. So, long-time listener since the early 90s at CBM, so we love you guys.
Wow, thank you. Thank you very much.
The signal's a little tough. It's changed a little more, a little tough out here on the shore, but we still get you. So, anyway, I'll get to the point. I'm at 64, and I'm still working. I still feel good. And I was really blessed. I put the kids through college, didn't save much. We have had 50,000 in savings, but and we're thinking about whether to put that, again, I'll get back to the Social Security thing in a minute, but I don't know what to do with that. So that we'll figure out that maybe on another call, where to put that on a piece of real, I'll buy a house, something with down payment. But anyway, on the Social Security, I was trying to wait till I think it's 67, you get the full amount. Is that correct?
Let me clarify that, okay? If you're working, you can't collect Social Security until you're 67, because if you make more than $21,000, they're going to take $1 for every $2 over $21,000 away from you. So if you're still working, you don't want to claim Social Security until you're 67.
I'm going to work as long as I can, I think, but at one point I might want to stop.
Right, I understand, but 67 is called your full retirement age, but your Social Security benefit maximizes to the largest amount possible. at age 70. And so there's a difference between full retirement age and when your benefit hits its maximum payout. And so if you keep working to age 70 and you don't need the money, I would leave it and let it continue to grow to age 70, especially if you're married. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would definitely wait until age 70 if I'm working and don't need the Social Security. Because every year you wait, Rick, it continues to increase by 8% per year.
Okay. So I'm 64. So that only puts another, 6 years to 70?
Yep. Another six.
And then I feel good, but you never know what life's going to throw at you. So I'll keep my eye on that. But so it's 70. See if I wait until 70. I had it wrong. It's always 67. What's 67? Is that not a number?
It is a number. It's just what's called the full retirement age number. And it just there's a purpose to why Social Security calls that the full retirement age number. But I don't have time to get into that whole thing.
Okay.
But you're
the better number, the full.
Yeah. So let's say you're getting $3,000 a month at age 67. You'll get 24% more if you wait until age 70. And if you die, your spouse will continue to get your age 70 benefit for the rest of their life with cost of living adjustments. I have a couple other callers I've got to go to, Rick. So unless you have something really quick.
Can I ask you 10 seconds? Then
yeah, go ahead.
I'm afraid of this. So the real part of the question was, so if I, and I hate to say it, I'm an old-fashioned guy, but my wife had a better job than me. I made pretty good, but she made a little more. And she was more of a 9-to-5.
Is she still working?
No, she just retired. She's older than me.
So then she should start collecting at her age 67, and you should let yours compound to age 70.
But so I'm saying, so but if I can take her, if I use her, so since
you can't, you can't use her Social Security. You can't collect off of her.
I thought in Maryland, decide which one was more or less.
Your wife would have to pass away in order for you to be able to use her benefit. But if
you use hers, I thought you'd take part. You get
no.
I read it
no.
wrong. Then I guess.
A lot of people misinterpret that. It's only if her half of her full retirement age benefit is more than all of your benefit, you can have half of hers. But I would bet anything.
That's what I was reading. Okay.
Yeah.
So I
all right.
How do you? And I guess I'll have to figure that out. Look online to see which is better.
How old is she, Rick?
She is. She's born in 54.
Right.
I'd say she's 67, 68.
She'll be 70. She's born in 54. She'll be 70.
Right.
She'll be 70 this year.
Oh, well, she didn't tell me. She don't like to tell me how old she is, but she's born in 54.
Has she?
She has
not started collected.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah,
but she's working part time a little bit, just a little bit of.
Hey, Rick, call me. Call us at the office. We could talk to you more.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get your number off the
right.
radio.
Sounds good. All right. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Let's go to Richard in Lithicum.
Richard, you're up. Yeah. Thank you for waiting.
I'm here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm 84 years old. And I have a American equity annuity that is out of surrender on June 10th. And I'd like to do a 1035 exchange. And I'm looking at a company called American Life. And they pay over 5% on their fixed annuities. Is that one you could recommend, or do you have another one?
Well, the first thing you want to do is make sure that the annuity is a no-commission annuity, okay? So if they're paying commissions, there's got to be something that's going to make it difficult to really give you the best that they can possibly give you. So I'm not familiar with American Life, but there are a lot of annuities out there that their fixed interest right now is 5% or so.
One thing I forgot to tell you is that with American Equity, it's non-qualified funds that are in there.
Yeah,
I have something
right. American Equity is typically
$200,000 in it.
Yeah.
Some of it.
And American Equity is a company.
Gain.
Right. American Equity is typically a company I tell people to avoid. So it's your wise to get away from them with your 1035 exchange. I don't have any specific ones that I would, say right here on the radio. This is the one you ought to consider. But I would contact Schwab or Vanguard and ask them what they have in fixed annuities. And if they don't have commissions, that's what you want. Or just do an online search, commission-free annuities, and see what interest rates you can get. And just look for a good company. And another thing you can look for, Richard, is annuities that will allow you to take tax-free benefits out of the annuity if you went into a long-term care situation. There are plenty of annuities that provide for that if that's a concern to you and your spouse also.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, but annuities do have the right to make tax-free distributions for long-term care situations. And so if you've got a bunch of deferred income in a tax-deferred annuity and you can and you do go into a long-term care facility sometime in the future, that might be a great way to use that deferred income as opposed to pass it on to your children and grandchildren as a ticking time bomb someday of taxes, you know?
Right. Yeah, the American Life is rated, I think, A.
American Life is a good company. Yeah, American Life is a reasonably good company. There's nothing wrong with them at all. It's not like American Equity that I would avoid if I were you. But, you know, American Life's a fine company. I just don't have a specific one that I would say to you, this is the one you ought to go to. You know, if you want to talk to us at the office, we can kind of search some for you. But I would call Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard and ask them what they're offering.
Where is your nearest office to me? I live in the Glen Burnie area.
Right, and we're in Hunt Valley.
Hunt Valley, okay. That's
right.
All right. Well,
I don't think that's too far away. I used to drive from Severna Park to Hunt Valley to my offices every day when I used to live down there. Anyway, we got to go. It's a good question, and I appreciate it, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's try to hit Karen, and if we'll get her question at least, and then
okay.
We'll...
Hi, Karen. Thanks for waiting. Thanks. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yeah.
So I'm 60 years old. I want to retire when I'm 62. I want to retire when I'm 62, but I don't want to start taking the money till I'm 65 because I want to let it, you know, build up.
Yeah.
So I have about $500,000 that I inherited. So could I live on that for a while? Do you recommend me living on that for a while so I don't have to take my Social Security right away and I can wait till I'm 65 so they can build up?
Yeah, so you're going to have to hold on because I got to take a hard break at 6:29 and then I'll answer your question, okay? Can you do that with me?
Thank you.
All right, you hold on. That's a great question, though. And we're going to address it for Karen in a second. But right now, we got to take a hard break. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. There are two main personal finance issues. How do I reduce taxes, and when can I retire? The Financial Consulate is passionate about both. My personal passion is reducing your tax liabilities because I believe tax laws are illogical and complex. I relish in helping you legally reduce taxes. It delights me and my team to help you retire and remain confident throughout your retirement. Robust retirement planning software and our comprehensive knowledge can build the assurance you need to plot out your retirement goals. If you have $1 million or more invested, including company plans, then we will do a tax planning analysis and retirement plan projection at no cost. If tax savings and retirement are your main concerns, then call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAVE or search Financial Consulate. That's consulate like an embassy. Let us show you how to lower your tax liability and confidently prepare for retirement.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show tonight. If you want to call in, ask a question, 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. Before I go to Karen, I just want to tell everyone that we are having a listener appreciation night on May 8th at the Doubletree Hotel right here at the radio station's complex at Reisterstown Road in the Beltway. It's May 8th from 3 to 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. We're having food and drinks, and we're going to do our top financial planning and tax tips. We're going to give a book, the financial physical book, to all attendees. If they want one, you don't have to take one, but if you want one, we'll have one for you there. And you know, we'd love to meet the people that say they've listened to the show for years and years. And we tried to do it early just to see if, you know, instead of waiting until after you're finished a full day of work, if you could get off just a little early, you could come out. Sean Casey's going to be there with me, and all the staff of the Financial Consulate will be there. So we'd love to meet with you. If you want to make your reservation, you do have to make a reservation because I got to give the hotel a proper count. 410-823-7283, 410-823-SAVE is an easy way to remember that, or info@financialconsulate.com. All right, info@financialconsulate.com. All right, let's go to Karen. Karen.
Karen, hi. Thanks for waiting.
Yep.
Karen, so here, you know, what you're talking about is exactly what we do with most people, is we use their assets to live on until we do start collecting Social Security, because we do want that Social Security to grow as much as we can, depending on your health and if you're married or not. Now, are you single or married?
Single.
Single, okay. So I wouldn't want you to wait much longer than age 67, first off, okay? That's the latest I'd want you to wait to. Your concept of going to 65 is a good one also. I would agree with that. Here's the problem that I won't be able to easily answer on this radio show, but you have to think about, and that is, I don't want you to draw down too much of your assets, and when you do, you have to draw down the proper balance between those pieces that are taxable and those pieces that are already been taxed. And so there's where your real planning's going to come in. I still want you to have a good bit of liquidity be when you do start to draw Social Security. So $500,000 should be enough to keep you going until you're ready to start drawing that Social Security. But I need to make sure, or I'd want to make sure, if you were a client of ours, as are you drawing, will you be able to draw the right assets and pay the right amount of taxes on them? And will you have plenty of liquidity when the time comes that you start drawing Social Security, that you don't have to draw as much off that Social Security, I mean, off of those assets that you inherited? Am I making that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. But, that, you know, I can't answer the question specifically for you because I don't know all your specifics. But those are the issues you have to address. What assets would I draw? How much is worthwhile to draw? And I would say I wouldn't want you to go much below $300,000. That's about the lowest I'd want you to go down to. All right?
If I have $400,000 in there right now, though, all I have to pay taxes on is what has accrued since I put it in, though, right? I don't have to pay taxes on the $400,000.
I'm going to assume that you inherited all after-tax money, and if that's true, then that is correct. If you inherited any IRAs or annuities like Richard was talking about, then you have taxable liquidity, taxable income, even off the principal you inherited. So all you inherited was tax-free, right?
Correct.
Okay, then you're absolutely correct. All you're going to pay taxes on is the interest and dividends or capital gains that you might make on that money each and every year.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Good question. Excellent question.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Karen.
Let's go
to John.
He's next up. John, welcome to the show.
Good evening, fellas. I wanted to know what do you have against American Equity?
I find their commissions outrageous that I've seen. Most of the policies I've seen, their commissions have been outrageous. Their fees are, and the way they make money off the client's money, and the way they determine their equity indexes, et cetera, that are usually, difficult. Let's put it that way. Difficult for the average person to try to figure out what exactly am I going to get from them. So those are just a couple of my reasons that I tend to steer people away from American equity. But we have to look at each and every American equity annuity to determine if the client would be potentially better off going somewhere else. So does that answer your question?
Well, it does. There's a cost to switching to another.
Well, remember, they're commission-free policies nowadays. And again, you have to look at the policy you have and determine, will it cost me too much to make a switch to somebody else? And if you did, as I always say, nowadays annuities are becoming more and more available commission-free. And it's just like mutual funds. You know, nobody rarely ever buys a commission-based mutual fund anymore. Most mutual funds that are purchased in no-load, mutual fund environments. And the annuity world is changing to that also, and the public's starting to get to understand that. So I understand what you're saying, but if your American equity annuity is still within a short time frame and you still have a surrender charge you'd have to pay, I'd probably agree with you. You're stuck with American equity until you can get out. All right?
Yeah, and if I were to switch, the interest rates are lower than when I got into mine. I was getting like an 8% a year bump,
So contract. Did you buy that back in the early 90s?
No, it wasn't that long ago. But probably 2009, maybe, something like that.
I doubt seriously then you had any kind of 8% guaranteed unless what you got was an equity index bump that because stock market did something in the way that index was written that you got an 8%, but there's no way that annuity is guaranteeing you 8%.
No, not today, but because I'm taking distributions right now. But, when I was not taking distributions, it was 8% a year.
Okay, I take your word for it, but you might be surprised at to what actually you did have.
Well, it's that ship has sailed anyway. But I will take a look. Thank you for your input.
All right.
Thanks for calling,
question.
John.
We're going to Kathleen.
Let's do that. Kathleen, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was calling to ask you the name of the financial planning group. You had mentioned NAPFA was if your assets are over $500,000, but there was another one if your assets are below, and I didn't hear the name of the company or the name of the group.
Well, no. Let me say it again. What I said when you heard that is our firm works with people with $500,000 or more, okay? But
okay,
if you want to go to a general association of financial advisors, it's called NAPFA. NAPFA is the Association of Personal Financial Advisors that are fee-only and independent fiduciaries. And you can search the NAPFA database to see what financial advisors in your area are fitting with your requirements and what your needs are. So you go to NAPFA, NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and you do a search for financial advisors and you tell them what your criteria is, and they'll say, here's XYZ firm, ABC firm, and whatever other firm.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Thank you.
All right. Take care. And it's a great question.
Great. Thank you for the call. Okay. We've got open lines.
We have open lines. We're going to go on a pause real soon. So if you want to call in and direct the conversation like the rest of these people have, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question and direct the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. All lines are open, so you'll be first up if you call in, 410-922-6680. That is, of course, Chris, that they call in before the other guy calls in that is trying to get in also. So whoever calls in first will be first up. 410-922-6680. We're on an open show tonight here on Money, Riches, and Wealth. And right now, we got to take a pause with traffic.
Fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
We're back on Money, Riches, and Wealth. And see, Chris, that's one of my narrow ranges of songs, you know.
Well, he gave you a softball the last one.
What was that? That was the Beatles.
Yeah, there you go. You know? Yeah, you got the Beatles. All right, let's go to Denise. Denise, hi. Thanks for waiting. Well, welcome to the show. What's your question?
All right, thank you first for taking my call. Yeah. My question is, I'm receiving a small pension from a former employer, less than $600 a month. At first, I was not having any taxes taken out, and now I'm going to. And I was just wondering, what do you recommend as far as percentages for federal and Maryland state tax?
Well, Maryland is easy. It's 8.5%, okay? So that's a given. Federal depends on... Do you think your overall income that you report on your tax return is typically $100,000, $50,000, $200,000? Where? General ballpark.
Like $65,000.
$65,000. So, and I'm assuming you're single or married?
Yes, single.
Single. So 15% would be a reasonable number. You're probably in the 12% tax bracket or somewhere real close to that. But you could easily be in the 22. And so I would just do 15 to be certain. So 8.5 Maryland, 15 Fed. If you want to lower it to 12, it certainly wouldn't be the end of the world if you were wrong, you know, and you owed 2 or 3% more.
Why would somebody recommend 22% taken out?
Well, because probably your tax bracket, if you really looked at it, they would probably say it was 22. But you see, when you're doing withholding, you don't necessarily worry about the tax bracket. You worry more about the effective tax rate, okay? And so the effective tax rate is how much tax did I pay based on my gross income? That's called the effective tax rate. Tax bracket is if you make another $1,000, how much money is the Fed going to take on it? How much is state going to take on it? That's called your tax bracket. But, you know, I don't know your whole situation, but, you know, I would probably lean towards the 12 to 15%. And clearly Maryland's easy, 8.5%.
Okay. And then I haven't taken out Social Security yet. I'll be 69 in September.
Right.
I wasn't going to hold out till I was 70 because I want to pay down some debt.
You're single. You don't want to hold out. You want to collect it at 67 or somewhere around there.
Okay. And then what percentage of tax should I take out of Social Security?
Well, you know, that's new income coming in. So I would probably lean toward the 15 to 20% rate. Social Security only gives you a handful of choices. I think it's 10, 15, and 20 or something like that. I don't have the exact numbers, but they only give you a handful of choices, you know, but, you know, it just depends. Do you want a refund or do you want to try to break even every year? Or do you want to owe the government a little bit of money without penalty? That's your choice. And that's how you make those kind of decisions. All right.
Preferably a refund.
Preferably. If you want a refund, go with the 20%. You won't have any problem getting a refund.
Yeah, you got 12 or 22. You can do 7, 10, 12, or 22.
7, 10, 12, or 22. I'll have to remember that, Chris.
7, 10, 12, or 22.
Yep. So if you want a refund, go with 22. You won't go wrong.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you again for taking the call.
Denise, there's one thing, you know, Drew mentioned about you can... you don't wait any longer for Social Security, you can also go back and collect some...
6 months.
Up to 6 months of your past Social Security if you wanted to.
If she's over 67. If you're already over 67 by 6 months, you could take a lump sum benefit. But if you do, your benefit's going to be retroactively taken back to 6 months before.
Right.
All right. So, but you can only go back. I mean, I'll be 69, so I can only go back 6 months.
6 months, yes. You could go back to 68 and a half, get a check for all six of those months, but your benefit will be marked back to when you were 68 and a half. All right?
Okay, thank you so
That's
much.
A great point, Chris. Thank you.
Great, thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Okay, we've got Bill in Perry Hall. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. A couple quick, easy questions. When you were talking earlier about selling your stock with the highest basis, when you do sell stock, do you always add the fees to your basis, or is that not counted as your basis towards your basis?
Well, the fees subtract out from the amount of monies that you collect. So it's not adding to your basis, it's reducing the sales price.
So you only put down the net, what you get, not...
Yeah. So if I sell a stock for $1,000, but they had $10 of fees, my selling price is $990, and then I compare that to my cost basis.
Right. But even the cost basis... What is that? Does that include your...
Well, the cost basis would have included any fees I paid when I bought it. So if I bought it for $1,000 and I paid $10 fees, my cost basis would be $1,010.
Okay, fine. And the other question was, you mentioned to sell the highest price, the highest cost basis stock first. You're suggesting that because you're figuring that the taxes will be lower initially, and then as you sell more and more of your assets... The tax would be higher.
That is correct.
When you get older, you have less assets, so you'd be
it depends on what you keep in mind, though, Bill. That if you hold a portion of your stock until the day you die, nobody's going to ever pay any taxes on that capital gain, right? That's called a step up in cost basis.
Right.
So that's why we do it. We're trying to figure out a strategy where someday in the future, maybe we'll be able to sell that low basis stock without a lot of tax consequences. And that's why I asked them the question about, are you charitably minded? Because if you are, there's always a thing called the donor advised fund where you donate your low basis stock into the donor advised fund, and then you give that money away to charity.
Right.
And instead of giving cash to charity, you put the cash back in your stock account and buy the stock back at a high cost basis. So these are some of the strategies you can, work with.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
All right. Great. Let's go to Bill in Westminster, Chris.
Can you hear me?
We sure can. Hey, Bill, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you guys. I listen to you all the time.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate that.
I'm at Vanguard and all mine is average cost. How big a deal is that going to be to me when I go to start selling?
Well, with a mutual fund group, funds.
Yes.
The average cost is not horrible. And do you tend to reinvest things? And have you owned it for long, long, long periods of time?
Since 2012, and everything's been reinvested, but, I'm just wondering, did I make a mistake by not specifying, or I didn't even know I could? But now when I look at it, it's average cost if I go to do
Well, you can go back and ask them if you can change it, I don't know, Chris, can he change that from average cost? I mean, I know you can from FIFO and LIFO. But if you're using average cost, and only mutual funds are the only way you can do that. You can't do that on individual stocks, average cost.
Yeah, I'm strictly index funds.
I'm wondering if it just may be a perspective change if he changes.
Yeah, I think he can change it without any problem. I would just go back to Vanguard and ask him, say, hey,
sure,
you got me down for selling as average cost. I'd like to change that to my highest cost basis and see what they say to you.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm glad I called you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, not a problem. Great question.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening there, Bill. Anyway, that reminds us, Christopher, we should tell everyone that has been listening for a long time that we are having an event for our listeners May 8th at the DoubleTree Hotel, and we'd love you to be part of that. We're going to give away a book to everyone who attends. We're going to be doing our top financial planning and tax tips. Sean Casey's going to be there with me. My good friend Sean will be there with me. We're going to have food and drinks. We're going to do it from 3 to 5 on May 8th. Hopefully, you know, give you a little opportunity that if you don't have to work all day, you know, that you can come and enjoy the time with us. Get to meet you, and we love to talk to you. Now we get to meet you in person, and I will be there in person. So that will be a great opportunity. Anyway, if you want to do that, 410-823-7283, 410-823-SAVE is an easy way to remember that. Or you can email info at financialconsulate, like an embassy, .com, financialconsulate.com, info at financialconsulate.com. We'd love to see you. We'd love to be with you that day. Call and make your reservations. Anyway, I think we're out of time, Chris.
That's what the clock tells us.
Yeah. Noah did a great job as usual. It's we haven't talked to this. Had Noah as our producer in a long time. So we really appreciate you being there, Noah. This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Radio 680 double.